welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. The strained vocals of me, Sir Adam of Cook. Ah, Jesus. Do you know, in the past I'd have started the podcast over because that's the worst intro I've done in nearly 10 years of podcasting, but I'm standing by it because this podcast is live. You didn't know that. You're shocked. I know, listener. This is happening right now. It's in your ears. It's magic. And right here, stood next to me, is Chris White.
Hello. I'll shake your hand, Adam. Very nice to see you after a long time.
A very warm may I say firm grip?
Yeah, I've got quite a firm grip. You know, helps me out with handshakes, good. Obviously.
I mean, I was curious about why you were stood next to me, because Adam Carroll is sat next to me, but you seem, you know, Adam, hello, I'll shake your hand.
Hello. Let me just put down my glass of wine. Yes, hello.
Good
to see you. This is really nice.
Okay. And Skyping in via his caravan is, of course, Gary Bailey.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, it should have been like...
Hey.
Yeah. Well, I'll do that in post, mate. I'll add that in post. Has everyone had a good week? I'd say that because obviously it's Wednesday. It's live right now. Is everyone having a good week? Chris, are you having a good week?
Yeah. I'll be honest, mate.
Did you enjoy the bank holiday Monday?
Bit tired. Yeah, I went to France. I took a day trip to France on the ferry. Came back quite late. Saw some nice stuff. Yeah, it was a good day. Yeah,
I love stuff.
Okay.
Stuff was, mate.
You do. How was your bank holiday?
Oh, it was just great. Game of Thrones was on. It was fantastic. So much happened.
Oh, what an episode, mate.
What an episode.
My God.
Can't believe everyone's
dead. Oh, yeah. That was just... Didn't expect it, man. I mean, no. Do you know what? I'm going to tell you before we get into the obviously all-important games chatter that I saw something today, Wednesday, that I didn't expect to see. And it made me laugh that much that I've been basically sitting onto this... Well, look, I'm not going to lie. It happened last Friday, but I've been sitting all... Like, it ruined my bank holiday. I've been sat there desperate to tell you guys and our listeners about what I saw last Friday.
You said you wouldn't say anything. I showed it to you in confidence.
No, it's not that, Chris. That was something else. I was driving around as is my wont to do, just driving, minding my own business, and had a friend in the car, and I was just driving, and we were just chatting away, and there was this, you know, it was around about school run time. I don't do the school run anymore because my kids are old enough they walk on their own. But there's lots of people around at that time of the morning. Just a normal morning, any normal Friday this was, and there's a couple walking along, and they're just chatting away, no probs, absolutely fine, that's fine, we're allowed to do that, everyone's allowed to do that. Chap sort of a few metres behind them, he's wandering along, he looks, I'll be honest, a little bit dishevelled. And then out of the fucking blue, he suddenly does this massive roundhouse kick to the air.
Oh, yes.
he was roundhouse kicking the air, and it was, there was this hush in the car where we drove past this happening, and I just suddenly... Did you see that happen? And he's like, yes, I fucking did. And I was like, I thought you hadn't seen it because you didn't say anything. And he's like, I was trying to process what happened. He said he was so angry. The violence in his eyes. He just did this. And I'll tell you what's impressive. I couldn't get my foot that high. And this man was at least 15 to 20 years my senior. Fair play, mate. But he just didn't...
He didn't hit anybody, did he? This was just...
No. I mean, this outburst of extreme violence. He fucking hated the air that he was
fucking
kicking.
I fucking applaud that. Do you know what? Fair play. Good on him. He gave you...
I mean, fair play, but also it's not... It's not...
He gave you entertainment. Gave you entertainment, and he was releasing whatever was annoying him throughout that day. He did it himself, and he took it out on some air.
Well, the thing is I was thinking, I wonder, was there a wasp or a bee? And he...
Ah, Jesus.
And he... You know? I don't know. Maybe...
Quite a high kick.
I don't know.
Quite a high kick, then. Quite a high kick, quite close to the sun, was it?
Head height. Oh, Chris, if only we were going to that game first.
Yeah, I know.
If only.
I know.
If only. But we're not. Sorry, mate. Day's gone still on the docket for this week, chaps, because we had a massive old chat about it last week. But Chris, you weren't here and you reviewed it. Adam played it and I was curious to... I know you finished it, Chris, but we will get to you. I mean, this is... You know, we've seen your review, but what I'm curious about is Adam Carroll still playing it?
No. I'm out. I'm done. See ya.
What did it for you?
I think it was just that every time I booted it up and like got going, the first initial 5-10 minutes, I said to myself, I actually like this, I think. And then it would just quickly become shit. And like, I'm sorry, but it just doesn't do enough for me. Like, I'm just going to have to, I have to be honest, I wanted to see this to the end. But I got other things to fucking do. And if they're just going to just kind of make a game that's not really fun, because let's be honest, at first I was okay with the bike. I was okay with refueling it. I was okay with fixing it. And then it just went to the most annoying level where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sick of having to find petrol and whatever and fix it all the time. And I don't care what anyone says, but like, is it just me that thinks the controlling of like the shooting is awful? It is awful. Yes, you can get some like slow motion kind of thing, but like, other than that, it's just really hard to like nail like these freakers in the heads. I just personally felt that anyway. Like, I don't know, I saw someone else tweet that as well. I was like, fucking too right it is. That is really frustrating. The game just doesn't do enough. It gets repetitive across the board. What everyone is saying, I think, is really true. I think the reviews are very much fair that have come out. And if somebody sees past that and kind of can come away from it going, 8, I loved it, it was great fun, then that's absolutely amazing. But there just comes a point where I kind of have to go, I'm done. I'm done with this now. I'm going to move on from it. And I fucking hate that. But that game is supposed to be pretty long, and I don't have time to play that because I have other things I want to do.
I mean, this is where Chris jumps in, because
yeah.
I get the feeling that, yeah, it does... See, what we talked about last week, I don't know if Chris has had a chance to catch up. Just briefly, what I said is that I felt like the longer... It just seemed so long and to have so few things. Mm-hmm. And I... You know, Chris and obviously I chat. We never sort of gave each other's opinion. We never do. We just talk about the game and sort of, you know, where are you in the game? What have you done? What do you think it is, maybe? But I got the impression of you, Chris, that it's very long.
Mm. Like, I mean, at the preview, chat from Ben Studio said it was a 30-hour journey, but it felt a lot longer. And that wasn't even really doing all the side stuff. Even though...
I mean, I've heard people say 60 now. I've heard people say 60 hours it took them.
Yeah, I reckon it... For me, it felt about between 40, 45, maybe 50.
Mm.
But it was just... It was just, like...
It's too long.
It's... Well, the thing that, like... Just talk about the missions themselves. So, every time you complete a mission, a percentage comes up on screen. And for about 15 hours, I had no idea what that was until I realised it was the percentage between your last level and the next level up, which doesn't make any sense at all. I assume it had something to do with the missions. But
wait, sorry, what?
So sometimes, like the main missions, when you get a percentage like and you complete it, like a percentage comes up. Sometimes it'll be 24. Other times it was 67, like in a row, and then after that it'll be like 15. It's the level that you're at, specifically the main missions. I would say.
I didn't know that.
There are some missions.
I thought that was like completion, like the story narrative. There's like each one's like a story. This is how much of that story you've completed.
But it doesn't make sense because it jumps about. It goes up and goes down. There are certain like certain because there's so many different colours and whatnot that associate with different types of missions, that it seems like some percentages are for the story, like the some of the side missions and stuff. But for a lot of the, like when the finished mission status screen comes up, it's the XP. So that doesn't really give you any guidance where you are, because like a few hours in and you're getting like 80%, you know that you know I'm near the end, so it must relate to the XP, and like even further down the line it keeps like showing you that on the screen. So that's very confusing. But when it comes to the game, I mean, there were multiple issues that I've got with it. A lot of them bug related, but a lot of things not bug related that are just like the audio, for instance. Like one of the things that drove me insane was when you're on your bike and you hear Copeland at Copeland's camp be like, "Oh yeah, welcome to whatever. Yeah, the government were really shit. Look what they've done to us. Look what they've done to us."
Oh,
and then it finishes, and then Deacon will be like, "You fucking wanker!" And it like starts shouting really loudly, "You twat!" You know, makes no sense.
Like, such an angry man.
If you were, you'd just be like, "Not bad." Like in your head, you wouldn't even need to say it.
I don't think
that, somebody feels the need to shout say anything. Over his and then not just that, but like there's certain like dynamic missions that pop up where there's a chap in a car and he's locked himself in because there's a load of freakers outside.
Yeah,
you can you save him, kill the freakers, he comes out, and the audio is so poorly mixed that he practically whispers to you, but then you talk back to him at normal kind of volume, and it's just so weirdly aligned. The audio is throughout. There's loads of different kind of types of that, and then like the bugs themselves, like, and I mean they've been patched. I haven't played it for about a week now.
No.
But even with like three or four patches, it was still bugging out big time. It was freezing, and like we talk about later on in the game, when you get to, I'm talking 30 hours in, there's the lagging gets so much worse when you're on the bike, and like when you get into a camp, it's the lag really kind of kicks in even more.
Yeah,
and it kind of felt a lot worse the later you get. Which is awful, because at that point you're already so burned by the story that you just want to get it over with, because like it drags. The game drags. There's because I don't want to, because people are enjoying it and they're enjoying the story, but there are some story beats that just make no sense. Mm. And then when they do make sense, they switch it and for no reason, and it just
I wanted to ask you actually about that. I don't know if you've seen it. I know you've been busy today, so you might not, but there's a video surfaced that actually someone sent me, and I can't remember if I sent it on, but it's basically someone, is a fairly prominent YouTuber by the looks of it, like they've got 250,000 subs. And it's called something like, "I am done with Days Gone. I'm ejecting it from my PS4 and I'm going to dip it in bleach," or something. Like something, you know. But the point is, what they've done is they've put together a load of this sort of weird shit, like the warping enemies. But one of the things, I didn't actually... I felt like I was fairly critical of the game. I think fairly, but I was quite critical of a lot of it. And do you know... it's not a spoiler. I did mention the girl riding on the bike with you last week.
Yeah.
And I want to say that, Chris, you'll know what this means, but Adam and Gary, if you haven't seen this mission, it won't matter to you. You won't know what it is. But the mission where you... The missions involving Lisa, the young girl, right? There's a mission where you have to rescue her, I think from the Rippers? I think it's from the Rippers.
Yeah.
And you assault that camp, and at the end of it, you basically go to her, "Just run to the bike. You know where my bike is, right? It's there. Just run to it. Just run to my bike right now. Don't stop for anything. Just run to my bike." That's the cutscene. It finishes. And then at the end of that cutscene, she just walks away slowly. When you cut back to the game, she's just walking, and the person pointed out, like, "Yeah, run, Lisa, run to safety."
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that kind of thing.
Yeah, there is.
Like in one of the other videos this person did, there's a moment where there is three separate, like, so there's, like Chris said about the radios, there's a radio playing, there's a audio log playing, and there's like Boozer is radioing you, like three separate different audio streams are all playing one over the top of another. And I'm sure they'll get there with that stuff. But like Adam said, we've got a question actually in the listener correspondence where we'll come back to Days Gone, I think, because it's the closest I can come to the answer. But the question I have is, Chris, do you want to continue to talk about Days Gone? That's your right. I can't take that away from you. This is a bit like a game show. You've won that. But do you want to gamble that on Bully's special prize? And do you want to hear what Adam thinks of SteamWorld Dig 2? Or do you want to keep talking about Days Gone? It's up to you.
No.
It's on you, Chris.
No, I'm good. I've said what I've needed to say.
Okay.
I'm happy to never really play it again. So, yeah.
That's not a good thing, is it? Like, it's a miserable feeling as well.
It is a miserable
feeling. Yeah, shit.
Like, I just want to quickly add in what threw me off completely within the game was you're riding around this world and it's supposed to be pretty cool, and you're supposed to be like getting this whole kind of Last of Us feel, I guess. And the thing is, when you're on the bike, you come across like a lot of buildings and whatever, right? Yeah. Like, personally for me, I would get off my bike, I'd go into all the buildings, I'd take out whatever's in there, and then the rewards were always shit. It was always shit. It was like there was nothing really that I needed, but the worst thing about it was, even if I fucking didn't enjoy the reward, the game wouldn't let you take it. And this game is supposed to be kind of survival horror, in a sense. And, like, you'd come to an area where there's loads of cars, and you'd hold down square. You're going to the effort of going off your bike to go over to the boot of a car, hold down square, he picks it for about 3 seconds, it pops up, and then it'll just say max. Because you have max of that item.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, as you walk away, Deacon has still got that little red rag hanging out the back of his jean pocket.
Yeah. Like, it's these things. Don't restrict me from what I'm supposed to. Like, these are resources that I personally need. And you're supposed to allow me to kind of go mental in the world, do what I want, and this is what I have to kind of take that gamble, is have all these resources so I can go out there and do my thing. Like, when I got to the first ever, like, swarm, I was fucking, yes, here we go, this is banging. They were all just all over the place, right? I didn't feel confident in going in, taking them out. Or, like, I know you're not supposed to as such.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you're supposed to feel good about those things.
But the thing is, like, I was sneaking around, and I kind of wanted them to chase me, because I just wanted to experience it, you know? But, like, it just does not work in your favour. Obviously, there's like, hundreds of them running after you. But if I'm not going to be able to, like, build myself up in some way to, like, completely, like, take out a fair chunk...
Yeah.
It's not fun. And, like, that was the thing. The game just didn't seem to, like, let me have fun. And when I was going around doing the stealth stuff, like, it feels kind of cool, whatever. But then, like, I don't know, man. It just... The game suffers from so much. It suffers from the length, anyway. I don't know why the fuck they had to actually make the game this long. Like, why couldn't they just had it 20 hours and just... Like, do a God of War kind of job on it at max and just kind of make it as tight as possible.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's a point where it feels like it's coming to a natural conclusion. And then you throw in another 10, 20 hours. It's just bonkers.
Yeah, too much.
The way it's structured. But yeah.
Yeah.
I think to do that, to get away with that, it's got to be a special game. And before we actually get your thoughts on it, Adam, being that we're all in the same room, and obviously, Gary, you've been allowed into the room now out of your caravan, hence the clearer audio, which obviously was not done in post. I'll edit that bit out. I'll edit the bit where I said I'd edit in post out, so that this bit... So, Gary, you're in here now. I'm going to ask you all, because, again, we're in the same room, so this is definitely going to work. I'm going to ask you all if you could... give me a show of hands, to put your hands up, if you've played SteamWorld Dig 2 before. Obviously, Adam, you're not here, so it's just Gary and Chris. You put your hand up if you've played SteamWorld Dig 2.
Okay.
So Chris hasn't, and nor's Gary. That's now either that was really clever or I've got it wrong. So I don't know. I'm sure Chris hasn't played it. I reckon I'm one out.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
I'm sure. Don't you try that shit with
you're
me.
Not really raised, I don't know what you're doing with your hands, really. It's just better off for them to say it, I think. Just go ahead.
No. I think I saw that Chris didn't raise his hand. Did you, Chris? Or did you?
My hand is down.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know it is. I can see, Chris. Sometimes. I don't know why you needed to say that. But the thing is, it's a podcast, so I suppose you have to let the audience know. Gaz, you can tell them as well what we already know now, can't you?
No, I haven't played it.
See, we're in the same room. Yeah.
I'm so glad we can do
again,
this.
I didn't need Gary and Chris to tell me their hands
were
down, because I could see it, but the listeners did. Adam, SteamWorld Dig 2, I kind of bludgeoned you into playing this.
Yeah, you did.
I was going to say I'm hoping you liked it, but you'd already bought it, so it's whatever, really.
I bought this on sale, I think, because of just the praise it got, and it seemed like a game I would enjoy. Normally, I wouldn't ever just dive into the sequel without playing the first game, but I was kind of told I'd be okay, I suppose. But really, like, what made me want to play this was you talking about, which is a totally different style of a SteamWorld game, but when you were on about Quest last week, and you were just kind of telling me to go straight for Dig 2. Very early impressions so far. I've only put in, like, maybe 2 hours at most. Totally my bag. This game is totally my bag. I love how it looks. I love how this game looks. Like,
same.
These games look just great. They pop. It's full of, like, just full of character. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's... it's not... Like, it is a great looking game, but it definitely has elevated coming away from the frustration of what Days Gone has kind of done to me personally.
It looks like if you didn't know they didn't, you'd think Nintendo made this.
Yeah, and like, it is so polished. Like, there really isn't any issue so far for me at all. Like, the presentation is top notch. But the gameplay, like the whole Metroidvania style thing, just the mining around the place, it's very addictive in that sense. Like, it's just, you have obviously your objectives, but there's something about just how far down can I just dig and what kind of, like...
Oh, mate, just you wait until there's some of the stuff you get later on that, like, I'm not going to spoil it, but like, there's some stuff that changes the movement and it's... Yeah, there's like, something about the feel of this game. The movement feels so good.
It feels so good, and it's just so smooth. All the gameplay is super smooth. The upgrades, the dialogue is very witty so far. Like, just really kind of just smart in how it's done. I think, like, just this developer, like Image and Form, is that the name of them?
That's it. Yeah.
I'm immediately going to have to check out all their games after this. If Dig 2 continues to just deliver, I'm 100% checking out the rest of their games, because, like, they just seem to... I don't know. There's something when a game just is instantly this charming, and that is what it is.
Dig 1 is a good game, but stripped back a little bit.
Right.
Heist I did play about an hour of and really liked. It's one of those that I was actually thinking about DSs the other day, and now I should just get mine back out and play through some of these games. But
yeah.
I'm interested to see how far you go with this.
I think Heist is on everything bar, like, Android, which is very annoying because that's what I have.
Okay.
But, also as well, the music is amazing.
Yep.
The music is incredible. Yeah, so, like, so far, so good. Really delighted that I've actually started this, because it's exactly what I want. And I think is it a long game? Is it, like, maybe 8-10 hours?
So, yeah, it's exactly that. But there are, like, I'm trying to think of a game that does... You know how, like, Mario Odyssey, you can finish the game.
Yes, and
but then there's, like, the darkest... No, I was going to say, like, the darker side of the moon stuff. Oh, there's, like, a challenge thing. Yeah. So there are challenge rooms within SteamWorld Dig 2, but then there's, like, one, like, ultra-hard one at the end of the game. I've never done it. I kind of... Just talking about it's making me think, oh, I should maybe check... Do I still have my save on the Switch? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, While we're talking to you about games, obviously being that we're in the same room, and it just happens to be your office, I can see you've bought Mortal Kombat 11 on the table over there. That, like, you know, we said you probably would.
Oh yeah, so I haven't bought it, but I was in a friend's house two nights in a row.
But is that your friend's copy over there on the table then, or?
That is my friend's copy. Yeah, that is that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
I just wanted to be sure. Yeah. Because I can see it.
So that
it's
is
right
mine,
there. There's no.
Just in case.
Don't make me a liar of me, Adam.
That one
you
there that,
that
I'm currently pointing at is not my copy.
Okay. Understood.
I spent like a good bit of time on this. As I said, I wanted to check it out. It was just one of those things. It is so funny. Like, that's just the first thing I have to say.
Yep.
It is so funny in its violence. And I know people are just like, before they were like, oh, has it gone too far? I don't think so. I think the game is brilliant in its fatalities, in its, like, crushing skull modes and stuff like that. Like, some of the fatalities are laugh out loud. Like, I don't know. There's just... When it gets bad... Like,
Do you have a favourite? I mean, we could ask Chris, because he's played more of it, and then by the time we come back to you. But do you have a favourite, Chris, fatality?
I kind of like... Kung Lao's always... I always like that because it basically uses his shield to slice the body in half.
He
throws the shield, cuts their head off, the head goes flying up into the air, then he throws the shield through the body, splits the body in half, and as the body slowly falls like outward, the head comes down and he throws his shield back towards the head and slices the head in half. Yeah.
And
so it's just a fucking mess.
You see, that's the thing. That's what I love, is that like when you do a fatality, and this is something like obviously everyone knows it's the smallest part of the game, but when you do a fatality, for some reason in this one, it just goes to that point where you're like, oh, that's brutal. And then it just still keeps going. It just, the fatalities get worse.
Yeah.
Like, I love, like, it's not one of the more, well, it is, it's violent. They're all violent. But I think
they're all violent,
I think it's Sub-Zero's one. I can't remember what it does, but in the end, he kind of decapitates someone. He decapitates their head.
Yeah, that's pretty much standard. I mean, the only one that Devora, the insect sort of lady, they're gross. They're horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she basically sticks, she gobs a load of insects into your mouth, and then like a giant insect births inside of you. It's just minging.
She did something like that in 10 as well,
yeah,
didn't she?
But they've taken that, Gaz. They've taken how gross it was in 10, and they've got, and like they have with the whole game, gone, can we make this just worse? And they have.
Yeah.
Like Devora, in the story as well, there's stuff like that. She's kind of, they doubled down on what the insecty part of her. It's gross.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's gross. But, I'm not easily grossed out, but.
But I tell you what, though, aside from just that part of it, gameplay is fantastic. Like, I think, as far as fighting games go, like, I was doing okay. Like, I'm shit at it. Like, I'm pretty bad at it. But, like, I felt like it gives people like me a chance. And, I don't know, it made, like, definitely, I think taking away the running mechanic, it just makes the fights way more intense because you just don't have that whole like run and leaping over kind of situation, and the fights just seem a bit more full on and a bit more personal in a way. Presentation wise, look, it's pretty flawless. I really don't know how much better they could make a game like that look. Everything is like silky smooth again, and it just, the detail in the environments are absolutely banging. And I was also taken back by how incredibly, like, not charming, but kind of moving a Mortal Kombat score could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the music is actually quite, I don't know, it feels like something that would belong in, like, God of War. Like, not as, like, like, theatrical and stuff, but it definitely has these like when you're on the main menu and you just sit there and you listen to what's happening, you're like, oh, this is kind of nice, that music is quite nice, and then you go in and do all this like crazy shit and you're like, this is hilarious. I am dying to get into the story mode because I've only heard such good things about the story, if I'm honest.
That's the only thing the reason I've not bought it is because the only thing I really want to play is the story. I love the Netherrealm fighters, but I know beyond the story I'm not going to play it.
Yeah.
So it's like I do want to play it, but I'm going to have to borrow it at some point and just,
I think you would definitely have a massive enjoyment out of this. Like, I don't know, it's how it feels. Jesus, every punch just feels like a thump, and the sound the sound with every punch is just amazing. No, they did have all that in like did the same crew do Injustice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, Injustice 2 had a very similar, like, feel, I think. I may have caused an absolute fucking car crash of anger there, I know, but, like, I personally think it feels kind of similar, but,
No, they feel very similar, mate. There's a foundation.
That's grand, because no, I just know,
they are very similar.
Oh, that's grand, because fighting fans can probably get a bit mental on you, but...
No,
like,
no, they are similar.
But I just, I'm kind of in for it now. I don't know if I'll spend the full 70 because, like you guys, I definitely know I won't play this like every day. Do you know?
Yeah.
But I think I'll be very weak if the rumors are true that Ash Williams would be coming to it. Then I'd be like, oh shit, I'm gonna have to definitely get this. But yeah.
It's, why don't you let Gary borrow your mate's copy that's on the table?
Oh, let me go across the room.
Well, no, he can't because the thing is, Gaz, Listen, Chris, I didn't want to tell you this, but Chris said to me he thought it was a bit weird that you had brought your entire PC tower all the way to Ireland to record this podcast. I mean, we both thought it was a bit strange the three of us would come to Ireland.
It's fine, don't worry. Guys, look, here it is. Look, guys, I'm bringing this copy of Mortal Kombat, my copy, from my house. Here you go, guys. What? Here, take it.
Take it. We all thought it was odd that Adam demanded the three of us go to Ireland to record a podcast. I have to admit, I didn't want to say this to your face, Gary, or live on the podcast as well, but it is odd that you brought your entire PC tower, connected it to his telly, and left it with your Epic library open so we could see you've been playing Close to the Sun. But I'm guessing you just really wanted to make sure we could see that you had played Close to the Sun. So, I mean, it's a lot. I'll admit, it's a lot. And listen, it's your hand luggage to take that PC back.
I just noticed you have your PC, Gaz.
It's weird. Right, weird. Really weird thing to do. But listen, it's not the strangest thing Gaz has ever done. Let's be honest. Vanilla Ice Cream still pretty much up there for me. But he have played Close to the Sun, and I've heard that this might be a bit Bioshocky, so I'm straight away got my ears pricked up going, Gaz?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
Sound like Yoda.
I don't even know.
Is this a vanilla Bioshock? I have been told I'm the Yoda of the games industry. Never. By nobody ever. By my mum. Gaz, Close to the Sun, please.
Well, yeah.
Don't make me slap you across the table, all the three of you at the same time, with my giant hand. Foam hand.
Glad you said hand then.
Yeah, well. Come on, Gary. Yeah. Get together, man. Come on. I'll put you back in the caravan. Don't make me get Adam's giant Malamute dog to chase you out the house.
Oh, I was worried where you were going with it. But...
My Malamute dog. What about that?
What's Close to the Sun like?
Well, shit show.
I just get the feeling that this game's not going to live up to the bit we just
no,
did.
No, it's not. But it's really not.
No, I thought not. No. Okay.
No, like the Bioshock thing is kind of there. It's
okay.
It's Bioshock meets Outlast with like a steampunk aesthetic. Because it's all...
you had me, and then you lost me, and then you intrigued me again. But the tone of your voice is just like... It's not selling it.
Yeah, it's... Right. It's kind of a game of two halves. You've got the one side, which is like pure
football.
Atmosphere. Yeah.
So it's Ronaldo, isn't it? Sorry. Please continue, Gary.
You're just mentioning football to me who just doesn't watch football anymore, and I'm just like, yeah.
Mate, you know who Ronaldo is, come on.
Well, yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Like... But... Go on.
Guy who falls on the floor a lot and scores a lot of goals, to be fair, but still, he falls on the floor a lot and gets paid an obscene amount of money.
Are we still talking about Close to the Sun?
That sounds like a terrible game.
I don't know.
But yeah, like, you've got, like, one half is basically all atmosphere and storytelling and things like that as you're wandering around this big seafaring fortress called the Helios. And it's basically it's Nikola Tesla's joint, and he's pretty much the power of the world because he's obviously done the whole electricity inventions and all that lot, and he's built a death ray, which is pretty much basically saying, if you do anything to piss me off, I'm just going to kill you all, kind of thing. You know, he's gone a little bit mad, and aboard this ship you're basically brought there by your sister who's working there. She's a scientist there, and she's sent you a letter to basically say, come and see me and all this lot. And you get there, everything's dark, and there's at one point you kind of see, right at the very beginning, you kind of look across, you see a person, and then they kind of disappear quickly, and you're like, what the fuck? And when you get in, the door slams behind you. There's like quarantine written in big red letters across the inside of the door, which is the point where you're just like, maybe I shouldn't have come in. But I'm screwed because I'm stuck here now. But anyway, yeah, with all this, you're just kind of wandering around the Helios, you're picking up, like, news clippings, and you've got, like, various, like, bits of the research and things like that. You're kind of working out what's going on, because everyone's disappeared. But you start, like, seeing dead bodies and stuff like that, and it's... There's a lot of tension in there. There's a lot of atmosphere as you're walking around there, but it's when it goes full Outlast and it's like, oh, this person's chasing you, run away, when you're just like, oh, right. Because they're not well done, those chases. They're actually very
did
poor.
Did you not say something about that at the preview phase?
Yes, it was like...
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, I mean, that, to be fair, that chase, because like, that chase in the preview build was about halfway through the game, I think it was. Something like that. It was like chapter... five or six, I think it was. And that chase in the full game is better because they must have balanced it somewhere. Because in the preview, there was a point where I was like, can I actually do this? Because he was always catching me no matter what I did. You know, he was too fast.
No.
But they seem to have pulled that back a little bit. So that's at least that. But the thing is, once you've done one chase, you've kind of done them all. And
right,
you know, it just gets boring because you're just like, you're getting well into the atmosphere and you want, you know, you're like, oh shit, I want to know what's going on in this place, because the story itself is really good, it's really intriguing. But as soon as you get like, oh, this guy's here and he's going to chase me, you just kind of go, this, you know, it's like this again,
right?
Really. And it's like the very first one, this dude chases you and you're kind of like, I don't know where I'm going. Like, I got caught a few times. Like, I did this first chase a few times. One time was because the context sensitive kind of jump wouldn't work, which was fun.
Wow.
And I'm like, please jump, please. Oh, wait, no, I'm being stabbed to death. Oh, okay. Which kind of brings up another problem. It's like, when you die, you get the cutscene, which, I mean, to be fair, it's only like a few seconds long, but when it's every single time, you can't skip it. You're just like, oh, come on, really? And yeah, it's just like, there's no real direction to these chases. You know, like, there's no subtle lighting cues and stuff like that to sort of direct you slightly.
Right.
So there are times when you're just running and you're just blindly running, you have no idea what's going on, and you're just kind of blagging your way out of it. And it's just a shame because the rest of the game is so well done. If they'd have just nailed the chases or even removed them entirely, I don't think I'd miss them. It'd just be that much better. It's a bit of a shame.
Well,
I mean, the design's gorgeous.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, the design's gorgeous as well. It's like Bioshock. That is, even though it's set in like I think it's 1897. I think it's something like that. It's like an alternate universe kind of thing, but it's still got like 1930s Art Deco stuff going on. So there's a little bit of weirdness, but it looks very Bioshock. But like I say, with a bit of a steampunk aesthetic, and you know, it's gorgeous. The voice acting's really good. Like I say, the story itself's really good, and when things are happening like within the story, it's cool. I you know, I was always wanting to learn more, but it was like I say, it's just as soon as those chases start, it's a complete turn off, and it just dragged the whole experience back. And it's a real shame because I really wanted to like this game, and I did, just nowhere near as much as I hoped.
Well, speaking of dragging the whole experience back, going from a negative, we could go into a positive with listener correspondence. How do you chaps feel about that?
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah, let's high five.
No, yay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yep. Friends. Yep.
That's definitely not going to be hard to edit because of those claps. Sorry, high fives.
Yeah.
Mark Duncliffe at Duncliffe on Twitter asks, or this is a good one, if a major game studio approached you, and I'm going to speak to you, Chris, first, so if this major game studio approached you and said they wanted to use your likeness as the main character for their next big game, He starts well here, actually, and then he sort of gets insulting towards the end. But then for his next big game, FIFA, The Journey, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Mortal Kombat, Leisure Suit Larry, etc. What game franchise or genre would you most like it to be? Or what do you think would work best? I mean, I don't know. Do we pick our own here, or do we do each other?
Oh, kinky.
Hey, hey.
Because I can see Adam, and I'm not talking about myself here. I'm talking about Adam Carroll. Yeah. I could see him in The Last of Us 2 as like Joel's long-lost brother we didn't know about. Hey, that beard's good, right, man. It's a good beard.
Yeah, I could go with that one.
I wish it was true, Gaz. I picked it. You need to pick something else.
I think that's kind of made me sad. What? That's made me sad because I just wish it was actually true. not in real life, but I just wish like I got asked to do it. I'd be like, oh, that's just fantastic.
Listen, I'll tell you what. Since we're sat on a table together and I've gone to my left to pick Adam... maybe that's the way we should continue. So now Adam's got to pick the person to his left and put them in a game, and we can. And this will definitely work because we're all in the same room, and it's going to be really easy. Adam, you just got to pick the person to your left, and then they got to do the same.
Oh,
and obviously we end up back
left?
With me because I was the last one. I mean, this, Adam, just look, they're right there.
Oh, look,
he's right there.
It's Chris. Hey, Chris, what's up, man?
Being nice.
I'm actually going to say Chris. I could see you in a... WWE game.
Oh?
Yeah, I'll go for that.
I could really, honestly.
He is quite ripped. I did think it was weird that he was sat there with his shirt off, but you know.
I just think...
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
Kevin Owens is good.
It's okay,
I'll take that.
Don't worry.
You take it, that's fair
enough.
It sounds
sweet,
genuine.
Adam,
okay,
thank you.
That's fine.
There we go. Okay. We got Last of Us.
Right.
We got WWE. Chris, who's sitting on your left?
I'm sure Gary would like to, Adam would like to pick one for Gary. So I'm going to look to my left and Adam. Hello. I think
no, that can't work. Chris, no, look at it. It can't work.
Oh,
if
yeah.
I'm sat next to Adam,
yeah.
And he's sat next to you, that's the,
oh,
Chris.
Shit.
He can't look. Look, it's not him.
Let's just shit.
You're
just
drunk.
Seats.
I'm sat in the middle of
yeah,
the table.
Sure.
I got up and sat in the middle of the table in that while she was talking.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Well,
that was no wonder
Chris,
he's arrested. He was swift.
Yeah.
Hurt yourself up.
It's
there,
a glass
man.
Table too. That's the
Come
it's
on, keep
flash.
The, keep the illusion. Keep the illusion. All right.
Illusion. We were in the same room.
Yes, I know. That's, Gary.
You're drunk, Chris.
Mate, it's all them bloody wines that Adam's been getting for me since the podcast started.
He is a generous man.
Watch out.
I nearly said lover. I nearly said he's a generous lover. I nearly said that.
Here, listen, I can be.
Did you have to touch his face when you said that?
Oh, yes.
Jesus.
Please, Chris, the person on your left, talk about what game he would be, his likeness be used in.
Okay. I would see Gary in either the DLC to GTA 5 or GTA 6 that would follow on the story of Trevor, where Gary lives in a caravan in the general area of Trevor. And he's lived out there his whole life because he was kind of kicked out for having bad opinions all the time. And since that time, his caravan, he's grown quite psychotic and a bit twisted. So he befriends Trevor and they go on a road trip together and cause a load of shit. So there you go.
You know the intro to Trevor in that game? Do you remember it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
You've kind of just put Gary there in my head, and you've ruined that game now completely.
But no, you see, Gary's
it's made it better.
But Gary wouldn't be as mean as like someone like Trevor. So realistically, if Giant Software were to make their next game, who are the developers of like the farming simulators, if they just did a fucking caravan simulator, guys, you'd be straight in. Really?
Ah, there's got to be a listener who can do something like that, like even if it's in dreams. I think I've just worked out what game I'm making in dreams. Actually, I think
Gary's Caravan Simulator.
I think that's gotta be possible.
What's the collector's edition? Just Gaz looking out through a caravan window. Little statue.
Free Gary bust. With 12-inch bust, ceramic.
A 400-page art book of Gary next to all different caravans.
Across Wales.
Jesus.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Gaz, person to your left, obviously, well, we're in a circular table, so you obviously know who it is.
Yep.
So, your turn.
I could see you in like Half-Life 3. Ooh, you could. Right. You've got a bit of a Gordon Freeman about you.
You couldn't have fucking said Thor or something in an Avengers game. Like, blonde beard, physique of a god. Fine, I'll take it up. Do you know, look, if it gets us Half-Life 3. Imagine that. Imagine they announce Half-Life 3 with my fucking face as the main character. Imagine that. My God.
Jesus. That's another one to make in dreams.
I'd be more like Half-Life 3, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair play. David Ayers asks, do you know what? I'm going to take this one first because I think mine's going to be a real downer, and I think hopefully you guys have got some funnier ones that you can lift it back up. But he wants to know what your worst holiday's ever been. Now, again, this is going to be a downer. I'll be quick. My wife and I, when the kids were really young, we'd saved for a long, long time to have a quite expensive holiday in a villa in, I think it was Spain. And we went for 2 weeks, and that's, you know, that makes it more expensive. It was right in the heat of summer. We really saved hard. And in the first week there, someone broke into the villa and stole all our stuff. The police were even laughing. When we made our statements. We got all the money back for insurance, but basically any time a car went past on the hill, it was like, oh shit, what's going on? It just ruined it. So we paid extra and got flights home, and fucking that was it.
Fucking hell.
I mean, listen, right, I'll bring it back up myself. In terms of, you know, the one thing about that holiday, we went with other people as well. You know, they got their stuff in it as well. But on the, you know, the very first day we got there, it was late afternoon, and I had a pair of white pants on, and I jumped straight in the pool.
Whoa, you're a brave
and,
man.
Brave or... Listen, I got a fucking good penis, okay? And I don't fear the water, okay?
Get out there, let's have a look.
Come on. Oh shit.
Oh, there it
suddenly backfired massively.
Put your penis where your mouth is.
Fine. Jesus. Right. Hang on a sec. Hang on. I'll put a zip noise in post. Hang on. Ready? Chris, I haven't done it yet. You'll know when I've done it.
No,
ready?
I've seen the bulge.
Hang on. Hang on. All hang right. on. Ready? There you go.
Christ. Fucking hell, mate. It's like Thor's forearm. Wow.
That's a fucking proper mending one.
Awesome.
Someone tell us about their worst holiday. I regret this.
I've got a story. I've got a story.
Now I regret it. So thank you. Yes, Chris.
It's very brief, but when I was younger, I went to a little caravan in Wales, funnily enough. And one of the first things we did when we were putting
suddenly that's become real Freudian.
When it was my dad was putting the suitcases away. He reached on top of the wardrobe. Felt a load of like paper. Then he kind of felt something stick to his hand. He pulled it down, and it was some toilet paper with shit on. Oh. Someone had wiped their arse, put it on top of the cupboard, and he'd gone to move it and had shitty toilet paper hands. So
is that happening in your caravan, Gaz?
That was great.
What an animal.
I know. What? I mean, the toilet's fair enough. They weren't the caravan at the time. They were outside, but no, like, you had to have shit in a bucket or something and then wipe your arse.
I mean,
but you
Chris,
just...
Chris,
I don't know.
I got burgled, just... and yours is worse.
Yeah,
but
at least
robbed.
It wasn't my hand.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, top that, Chris. No, you are Chris. Top that. I'm sorry. The drink's getting to me, lads. I know Chris just sat right there. Gary or Adam, top that for a worst holiday. That's bad.
Yeah, that is bad.
I've not really got any like bad stories. I don't remember any like really.
I'll
bad
make one
ones.
Up for you guys, and you tell you what. I'll tell you the story, and you tell it back in post, okay? you went to Spain and you were having a lovely time and it was really hot, and then you went round the corner shop and they had no vanilla ice cream. Awful.
Sounds about rude.
Ad?
Mine's very quick. I went to Spain and
generally, we all go to Spain a lot. Well, Chris went to a caravan in Wales a bit.
Yeah, I went to Spain and I think I was like fucking 13 or 14, and I just remember kind of just walking around the area and stuff, and it was all whatever, and I was met these two girls of similar age, and do you know, being a young fella, and you're like, hey, how's it going? And you start talking to them, and all is great, whatever. And we went into like the like stairs area of the hotel. We're just sitting on the steps, and it was like I was in the middle, and there was a girl on the right and a girl on the left, and we're just sitting there talking away. And I was like, oh, this is pretty, this is great. And I was like, just me, two girls, we're all having chats, everything was going fine. And then I just felt everything go horribly wrong inside. And I was just like, oh, Jesus, what's happening here? And before I could do anything about it, I just got sick all over the place and all over my lap and all over pretty much them. And I was just standing there, just like, I just got up and I went, I'm so fucking sorry. I don't know what just happened. And I just went away. I just walked away. And I was actually just after getting a full belt of sunstroke.
Oh, and
it was bad. Like the next day, I could hear everyone splashing around outside in the pool, and the fucking heat. It was so hot as well, and I was just red. My ass was sore. My legs were sore. Everything.
Wait,
was sore.
Sorry, what? Yeah. Why was your ass sore?
Oh,
it's
just
the sun.
My ass was sore, man. I was shitting all over the place. It was just bad.
Okay, that's it. Was yep. Okay. It was just, I shouldn't have asked, so, really. The answer was there for all of
course,
us to see.
Like, no.
It was 13, 14, Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
I said I shouldn't have asked. Yeah. I just did. I don't know.
I don't think anything was going to happen.
I feel like I represent our listeners.
Sick on them.
I reckon you could have pulled it out of the bag.
Do you know, it wasn't great. And sunstroke, I don't know if you had it, but it's...
Yeah, I have.
It is absolutely atrocious.
You can die from it, man.
It's bad. And I was sick for like, I think it was like 2 or 3 days max anyway. But we only went on holidays for like 7 days. So like 3 days were just completely wiped out. It was bad. In fact, it was actually a lot funnier in a sense, because I bought a pellet gun while I was over there. And I just, this is kind of harsh, but I just sat in my balcony and just shot people in the pool.
I'm not having any fun, nor will you.
Yeah, I was just, everyone was jumping in the pool and I was just there in my balcony going, pew, pew, pew.
Jesus. I mean, there's no real way to transition from those stories to any of the other questions this week. So we're just going to have to heads down and go through these, because we're going from these stories back to gaming, and Dane Wilkinson has asked us again. This is going to feel so, but just go with it. With the 3DS seemingly put to bed by Nintendo, how highly do you rate the system, and what games have you enjoyed the most over the past 8 years, Adam Carroll?
Every single Zelda that was released on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the DS. The DS is great, but like, yeah. There's a lot of good games on it, but it was mainly because of the fact that Majora's Mask and stuff like that came
to
it.
And I would say I actually preferred the DS over the 3DS.
Oh, are we just saying DS?
Well, he says the 3DS, because it is the 3DS they've kind of, you know, put out to, you know, past his new, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you're talking DS, if I'm honest...
No, we're talking 3DS. I'm saying I think more fondly of the DS.
Oh, really?
But he's
asking about
how do you feel about the 3DS?
I love the 3DS, but I would honestly say I wouldn't say much about the DS, because there's not much that comes
Adam,
to...
you don't have to.
There we go.
Does anyone else have anything to say? Adam, don't make me slap you. I've been slapping everyone
it's
all
the
night. Yes, it is, yeah. Does anyone else want to add anything to their 3DS?
I love the DS for a bit, one particular reason.
No, and Chris, that's Super Mario. 3DS, please.
I mean the 3DS. I meant the 3DS.
Thank you, please. See? Thank you, that's fine.
Super Mario Land, 3D.
Oh, yeah, 3D Land was so good.
Yeah,
one of the best Mario games.
And, yeah, and also Resi Revelations, which came out for the 3DS.
Good God, yeah.
That was the reason I got a 3DS. Like, I didn't
have one. Do you remember Street Fighter?
Yep.
That came out on 3DS. Yep. Remember Street Fighter 4?
Yep. Ultra, yeah.
And there was a Pilot Wings game.
Oh, I never played Pilot Wings on the 3DS.
I don't remember it being very good, actually. Was there a Ridge Racer game, Gaz, on 3DS?
Yes, I think it was a launch game.
Yeah, possibly. I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good games on the 3DS.
There was a WarioWare of some description. But the thing again, I'm going to break the rules now. So the reason specifically I think more fondly of the DS is because, do you remember when they went from... you remember what the actual DS itself looked like? It was kind of like a... it was a clamshell thing, but it was like really industrial looking and grey and like a really visible like hinge on it. And then they did the DS Lite. Do you remember the DS Lite?
Yeah.
This just glorious white rectangle that was so smooth. And I actually imported one of those from Japan with Osutaku Uendan. What did they name that game over here?
That didn't actually come out over it. Eventually, they released Elite Beat Agents, like the sequel.
That's it, yes. Sort of thing. Yes, that's the one. But that game was amazing. And that, I remember literally sitting in my kitchen, having got this thing imported, and I got, I think, that game with it. And the 3DS, though, like, in the end, they did make this... like, if you were to just... imagine if you were to... I've never played 3DS. And someone said, here you go, here's a 2DS, like the final model that was a clamshell as well, with, like, 20 of the best games. You'd have a great time, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Because the eShop and stuff as well was actually great. For like for the DS, I just thought there was a lot of great stuff. Like, you got so many of the old games that realistically should be on the goddamn Switch, but you know, whatever.
I mean, the Fire Emblem games, they kind of brought the series back to life on the 3DS.
Yeah, geez, Awakening was massive.
Yep. Thomas at LlamaFluff42 says, White Twix's thoughts.
Ooh.
But he also wants to know, have you ever had a game for review that you physically could not push through and had to admit defeat? White Twixes, I've actually had one. I've saw these in our local corner shop, and they actually had white Snickers bars as well. Oh. I'll be honest, I do like white chocolate now and again, but a white Twix didn't do it for me, I'm afraid. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have tried it.
I like white chocolate, but it's the kind of thing that I only have now and again because it's very sickly. You know, it's the sort of thing that you just have now and again. But I just think white chocolate with like the caramel and stuff that's in Twix,
biscuit.
I don't think that'd go. Personally,
no, it wasn't like I didn't eat it again. This is revolting. I just ate it thinking I would far prefer just a Twix.
Yeah,
do you know Twix actually did lots of different flavors a long time ago? Would have been probably early 90s. There was this period where they did like dark chocolate Twixes and like chocolate orange Twixes, and they were absolutely phenomenal. And then they just, like a lot of those limited edition things, went away forever and never came back.
Do you know? I actually got a Twix one time, just standard normal Twix, and there was no caramel inside it.
The fuck?
I don't believe you.
It's basically a big...
But I can't prove it to you because I fucking ate it.
Well, there you go then, see?
Can you remember Drifters?
Oh, banging. So good.
Can you remember, banana Drifters?
Oh my God.
Can you not remember them? Banana Drifters? What? Yeah, that was
But this is starting to sound like a Peter Kay routine.
They were really nice.
I've explained my hatred of bananas. They depress me. Go away.
I mean, look, Chris, have you ever had a game for review you just couldn't? You just could not do it.
Yeah.
Not through difficulty, this is...
Oh, no. Well, I don't know. I had one because I thought the question was referring to difficulty, but... I tend to... I'd say the only thing game I could think of off the top of my head would be Neo. But that's through difficulty.
Yeah, but that was difficulty.
Yeah.
But I can't... Days Gone in recent memory is the hardest I've come to almost go in. Look, I can't.
And that's why earlier on I mentioned this question, because it's difficult. I think
Kingdom
similar
Hearts
to yourself, I would have got there. Oh yeah, well,
Kingdom Hearts 3.
But I think Days Gone. Yeah. Days Gone. I don't know if I could have. I I did fall off the game when I stopped playing it because I didn't have to play it for review. If I was reviewing it, I would have tried, and I was well impressed with you, because once I realised how long that game was, Chris, I was in awe of your game playing dedication, quite honestly.
But the only reason I kept playing was because I felt like it was coming to an end, but it just never did. It felt like I was always just around the corner, but I wasn't. But yeah, that's a good one. Days Gone, I would say, of the closest I've come to recently.
I came close with Metal Gear Survive. I reviewed that freelance, and I came close. It's not actually a bad game. It's just in terms of the time frame of how long I had to play it and what kind of game it was. Gaz?
I can't really think of any that's hard. There have been times when I've just been like, I can't be bothered, but nothing like that's made me stop like playing a game, you know. That's usually just like, you know, when you get home from work or whatever, and it's like, oh, I've got to do this, like, I've got to play more of this game for review, and I'm just kind of like, I can't be arsed. You know what I mean? You just sometimes you have that, but I can't really think of any games that have kind of broken me.
Generally speaking, we do finish games for review here.
Yeah.
McPoo asks, we'll ask Adam Carroll this one. Should the next Xbox bring back the faceplates from that 360 era?
Oh, fuck it, yeah.
PS4 kind of did. You know, the original model PS4, you could take like the top off it. You could actually change the plates.
I don't know. I don't know where people stand. Like, I think in today's generation of like gamers, I think they'd rather have their like console like designed in a really mental way, like their own kind of signature console, as opposed to getting like a Gears of War faceplate and just popping it on. Do you know, like,
yeah.
When I had a 360, I definitely had something, but I cannot for the life of me remember. But I think every time they were around, there was no real games that I was personally into.
But they also really felt like they were going to break every time you removed
them. Yeah,
they were pretty expensive. I think they were around 25, 30 bucks or something like that.
They kind of ended up being pre-order bonus things.
Yep.
Yeah. They should probably,
I'm going to say no.
If they were to come back, they should be in collector's editions of games, I think.
Or just don't bring them back.
Well, you asked me a question, so I'm giving you my fucking answer.
No, but I didn't ask. Hey, I didn't ask you nothing. He McPoo is asking, right, should they bring them back?
Well, not right now.
I mean, I think you're insulting his time. You could have just said yes or no.
I'm not insulting any listener's time. I'm insulting your time, because I'd like to punish you.
Mate, trust me, at some point in this podcast, we've insulted their time. I'm sorry, there's no way around it. Does anyone think they should bring them back before we move to the next question?
Nah.
No.
Okay. I could have just said no.
As I said, listen, I'm not here to judge you. That's for the listeners to do. Craggles at Angry Fodder. This is probably the wrong question for this episode of the podcast, given the jollity we've enjoyed. Should you be able to separate content from the views of its creator? Are the two linked? Who wants to tackle this first?
It's a difficult one. I mean,
Gary's tackling it.
You can definitely separate them, but it's kind of like it's a very difficult one. It's just kind of this day and age. It's almost like you can't, if you know what I mean.
So what you've done there is answer the question with
a question. Yeah, fuck
both
it.
Yes and no. The difficulty is it's very much dependent on what the content is. If someone is writing an article or creating a video about, I don't know, gender stereotypes in video games, and they are a white middle-class male, then that's probably fine. But at the same time, if that person is a white middle-class male who thinks all games should be about themselves, that's probably difficult to take that article seriously, because but at the same time, I feel like it's a deeper question, because it's like, I don't know the politics of my boss in my day job. If I did and they were against mine, should I quit? Ideologically, yes, but realistically, that isn't the world we live in. Everyone has their moral endpoint as such, and then there becomes a battle between, yeah, I should quit because my boss believes the complete opposite of me. But that does mean my family have no home because I can't pay my mortgage. And that sort of stuff is really, really difficult to separate out, you know?
Yeah, it just comes down to you personally. Like, because you could tell somebody about this, whatever situation or something that you see, and they might just say, like, oh, you should not, like, be around that or do this or support that or whatever. But then, like, no matter what, it just comes down to how you are in that current situation. Like,
Social media has made this because, do you know, obviously, doing arounds, well, not at the moment because it was last Friday, this is Wednesday. But, like, you know the Tommy Robinson stuff? Yeah. We can all agree right now, unbelievable prick.
Yep.
But there was the thing where the guy threw milkshake over him. And I know you know this because I shared this in Slack. Now, that tweet that I shared with you guys where it's a picture of him with milkshake on him and someone has just put the Brazzers logo on it, I thought that was tremendously funny. And I was about to hit retweet. And then I thought, does that make people think differently of me? Does that suddenly make people think, well, if he knows what Brazzers is and he must be into porn? I'm not into porn, but I know what Brazzers is. And yeah. I thought that was quite witty because it made it look like someone had spunked up all over his face. And to me, that's very funny because I have a very childish sense of humour. And I also, you know, then you start questioning yourself. Like, the thing is, does that make people think I lean a certain way, or you can't make jokes about that? You can't make sex jokes or porn jokes or anything like that. And then you start to think about it further, and you think, well, but surely people who do follow me know I'm up for a laugh, and of course I'm a very moral person, and I lean left, and I believe in equality and all that. But it all becomes very messy because you only have to see one thing by someone to suddenly think, ah. I thought you were all right, but you seem like a prick now.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's like, especially in social media.
It's not easy.
Like, we all know how it is. Like, for me personally, I tend to just never really use my social platforms for that kind of stuff. Now, there could be people out there who should be who'll probably just go, well, you should, because if you knew what's right in the world, then you should have your voice heard and say your opinion. But the fucking thing is, like, I'm not on the internet to, like, get in arguments. I'm not on the internet to, like, come across like a fucking maniac. I'm on it to be, like, just support shit that I love. And that's really what it all is. Now, I know we're kind of straying away slightly, where I am anyway, from, like, the overall thing. But that's just, as you said, Ed, to, like, think whether you should do that or not. Like, maybe you made the right choice, because I do think there is people out there who can get a bit like, what the fuck is this guy about? Like, what's this? What do you mean by that? And why?
But it is funny. We can agree on that,
yeah,
right?
It's fucking funny.
It is. It's funny. But that's the thing. Like, we can agree.
I mean, I'd have gone Pornhub, but
we can all agree. But it's
Pornhub don't really have the logo in the videos.
Do they not? Oh, there you go. See, Chris, I didn't know.
Yeah.
But like, also, I don't know, like, can you enjoy something? I suppose it's also like, it kind of ties in the whole crunch thing at the moment. Like, can you, does it sully Mortal Kombat a little bit to know that people perhaps crunched on that? And, like, maybe, you know, does it sully a game if you think maybe this ruined people's lives? Not saying Mortal Kombat, but if you know, there are games like, you know, like they talk about crunch culture. Do you still enjoy the game? Does it take any of that away?
Well, you don't, like,
of course, I think the two are linked because everything's made by someone, but it's just not easy because social media has the reason I always disliked social media, certainly when I first got on there, is I didn't feel like people were putting out who they really were, and then I was always just kind of me, I think anyway. Yeah. But then I realized actually it's not up to me. It's you do what you want to do with your feed. Like, you have a choice, follow or unfollow. And in terms of, like, I don't want to really get too personal, because we are, you know, we are to have a chat and have a laugh. But, like, there are people in my life who I care deeply about, who voted, for example, in a way that I feel not only affects me, but more importantly, actually affects my children. And I can't understand how they could do that to my children. But I know actually that they are good people. they're good people, and that that one, say, vote doesn't change that they're good people. We just fundamentally disagree. And I can't... I know some people would. I can't just say, get out of my life. I can't, yeah, but- because... I care about those people, and although, you know, and I, some of them I can't even discuss it with. Like, there's people in both my wife and I's lives that, like, the my kids are bright kids, and they want to ask, why have you done this? You know, this is our future. They, not quite so dramatically, but like, I have, it's almost like kicking under the table, like, shut up, don't bring up politics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We still love these people. I don't know. I told you this was not the right question to end on.
Look, if everyone plays Zelda, it'll be all right. That's the sort I say.
But what if... No, I'm not going to make that joke. No.
Watch Pornhub. Go and check out the video.
Enough, mate.
Go and check out the video on Twitter of that prick getting milkshake poured over his head and retweet it. There you go.
There seems a lot of violence in the world, and this has just made me think about it, so I'm going to go to bed, honestly. You don't mind, do you, Ad? It looks quite comfy over there.
It's fine. I just hope...
Can I join you?
Do we have another question to follow up this?
I was going to save it for next week, but this one... Speaking of people that we care about, Chris White. I don't know why I added your surname there. You know it, and they know it, but... Gooseberry or at Miss Flanagan, do you think nostalgia felt for a game will ever match... My screen's just gone off. I'll just wiggle my mouse...
Way.
Do you think nostalgia felt for a game will ever match the remaster of it, or is it about who you are and where you are that first time you played it?
I think the latter, to be honest, because like I'll bring Shenmue up just because that is kind of like one of my favourite games of all time. I remember where I was, what was happening in my life when I played it. I remember the time at which I played it of the year, and how I felt after playing it, and then come back to it last year and not feeling that way again. And granted, I'd already played it, so maybe that played a part in it. But secondly, it's just not the same. And it does feel that, like, for me personally, I really struggle with nostalgia, and then playing them now, I never get the same excitement or joy out of it. And that's why I tend to go back more than... any later than like 5 or 6 years and play anything from back then, because it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
That's not every game, but I prefer newer stuff or recent stuff, because the games have evolved to be more suited to me. Like my favourite kind of game would be the single player story game, because I enjoy drama, I enjoy narrative, I love good storytelling, and couple that with great gameplay like your God of Wars and your Horizons and your Spider-Mans and your Yakuza 6 and all these are like perfect kind of games for me, and you're not going to get that back then. But that, like, I do play games for gameplay, obviously, and it has to be good, but I do also adore a well-written, executed story, and I don't really get that from back then. So when it kind of comes back, like something's released now and I play it, and it's something like, I don't know, DuckTales on the NES came out, and like all that came out, and I thought, yeah, it's fine, but I would never play this if it wasn't for review. Or like old Atari games, there's like a new Earthworm Jim game coming out, but if it's the same as it used to be, I'm not going to bother with it for long. I'm just not that into old games, so nostalgia kind of, I think it's about where you were and when you were where you played, because obviously back then as well, you were at an age where all you knew was that console. There wasn't PS4s around. Like, you didn't know what was the future. So at that point in time, that was the best thing possibly out there. Whereas now you've got so much more advanced. Going back, it's just not the same for me. So
I think
great
it's
question.
Kind of like,
great question.
I think
great question from a great person, Chris, wouldn't you say?
Oh, she's a fucking stunning person. Yeah, she's amazing.
That's an odd way of talking about a listener. Just stunning
person.
Well,
they listen all the time. They're very supportive. Yeah.
It sounds like you know them, Chris, but you'd disclose that sort of thing on a podcast, so you can't.
No, yeah.
I know, weird.
No, I know. Go, Gaz.
I think the delirium's set in. Yeah, Gaz, do you want to
say I think it's kind of summed up by that whole thing of, you know, when someone plays a game that you love and you're like, oh, I wish I could play that for the first time again. that kind of sums it up, because it's never
Bloodborne.
You always look like, for me, like the example would be the first Resident Evil. Like I loved that game. I'd still play it today, the original, not even like the remake, and I'd still love it. But nothing will ever be the same as that first time I went through it, and it's kind of like the memories there. The memories will always be there, and it's just it is all about the creation of the memories. So like you know if you go back to it, you'll get a good sense, because you'll be like, oh, this is cool, I remember this bit, but it's all tied to the memory rather than you experiencing it again, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's spot on.
Yeah. You know, it's like the first time someone says, do you know you can get porn on the internet? And then you look and you're like, oh my God. You can never get that memory back. You can never get that memory back. Or like the first time you listened to a podcast and you clicked unsubscribe and went, these guys are fucked up, I'm not listening to this ever again. You never get that back. And it's time to say goodbye. I think probably there's moments in this podcast that should be edited. But, you be the judge, because I ain't doing it. Chris, Adam, Gary, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting to you in Adam's lovely, perhaps overly warm lounge, I would say.
The fireplace in his office is making it warm. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, but
beautiful.
Why are there two of them? Yeah. That's the weird thing.
I'm just glad you made it. And guess yeah, I mean, that listen, PC. It's lovely, man.
That's a big one, isn't it? It's a beast. Listeners, we would chat to you all night, but the three of us have got flights to catch. And when I say the three of us is actually me, Adam and Chris. No, Gaz is staying here. Adam's actually coming back with us. It's a bit of a weird situation.
Right. Okay. Oh, so Gaz is staying in my place and I'm heading away.
Yeah. Right. We did have the meeting. I know you weren't there, but it was agreed.
Fuck. Right.
And on that note, reminder that you've got a Patreon that you get to hear this kind of stuff before anyone else. And listen, this is the fucking gold right here, isn't it? This is the gold. You get this early for $1. $1 a month. I mean, I'd said the words on this podcast, I've got a fucking great penis. I said those words. I did. I said those words. And I'm now asking people to pay for those words early. And I stand firmly behind those words. patreon.com/godisageek, where you'll get early videos. We give away games on there.
Maybe a snap of Adam's penis.
No, it's not that kind of Patreon. It's not that kind of Patreon.
Oh, okay.
I ain't got time to blur that out. Is Brazzers actually still a thing? Before we go, is it one of those things where it like doesn't exist anymore? I genuinely don't know.
Is what?
Chris.
Yeah, it exists.
Okay, thank you. If you want to go to Brazzers, go to Brazzers. I don't know. Otherwise, go to patreon.com/godisageek. Support your favourite gaming podcast for $1 a month. Like I say, around about $10 a year, and you get podcasts early. We're working on a couple of Patreon exclusive podcasts. We want to do some bonus eps. We want to talk about the Avengers. We want to talk about Game of Thrones stuff we're enjoying. And that's about it. Adam, you're right there. You seem to have lost it slightly.
I just laughed because you just like mentioned Brazzers and then went on to say we're going to do some more Patreon stuff, and I can just imagine listeners going, yep. What the fuck are you going to do?
Yep. Well, the only way to find out is to go to patreon.com/godisgeek, Adam, isn't it? Follow us all on Twitter. You know where it is by now. But thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.